Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 14. So Romans chapter 14. So we've been going through the one another's. We just started. This is our second series set. And there's, like I mentioned, there's about 35 of them. We went over three or four last week, and then today we'll do about the same. Romans 14. So before we do, I have a little just introduction here from a guy named Joe Troll. I really don't know who he is. I just found this illustration. Thought it was interesting. He says, "We can live only in relationships. We need each other. A rather crude and cruel experiment was carried out by Emperor Frederick, who ruled the Roman Empire in the 13th century. He wanted to know what man's original language was. Was it Hebrew, Greek, or Latin? Okay. And so he decided to isolate a few infants from the sound of the human voice. He reasoned that they would eventually speak the natural tongue of men." Okay. "Wet nurses who were sworn to absolute silence were obtained and thought it was difficult for them. They abided by the rule," right? They kind of kept them silent. And then it says, "The infants never heard a word, not a sound from a human voice. Within several months, they are all dead." Okay. So it talks about, not about the language, but about relationships, right? Relationships are important. And I've heard this before, that in like some of these places, like in some of these third world countries, maybe even today, but where people can go give their babies, right? There's always somebody who will go around picking up a baby every so often, holding it, right? It's just something about the relationship, right, between us and each other, whether you're a baby, whether you're an adult. Even as adults, if there's no relationship, there's a, can come a sense of depression, of loneliness, of is any types of things. So again, so it's important to have relationships. You know, it's designed by God. We're built that way. If not, we can wither away and die as well. But relationships are important. So these one another's are relationships within the Christian body, the household of God, we said last week. Okay. So we're on number four. So we did three of them last week. We're on number four. This one is, do not judge, build up one another. Okay. So this is number four. Romans 4:13, and can I get somebody to read that one? And then also, I'm not 4:13, but 14:13, and then also Romans 14:19. So let's go with 13 first.
I can read it.
All right.
"Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather judge this, not to put a stumbling block or fence before a brother."
Okay. Who has 19? You got it? Okay.
"So then let us pursue the things which makes for peace and the building up of one another."
All right. So do not judge one another, build up one another. Okay. So these two commands were written in the context of Romans 14, of judging others and causing others to stumble. Some people in the church at Rome were judging others because of what they ate. Did you ever hear about that? Ever heard about that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians kind of talks about that. So these guys were in Rome. Now, what do you think they were judging on? Like, what kind of, what were the types of eating patterns that they would judge each other on?
Clean and unclean.
Clean and unclean, maybe, right? Okay. Yeah, like the Jewish versus the Gentile, pagan perspectives, right? And so, yes, and this was a Gentile area, so it was probably making fun of more of the Jews than anybody, right? Since it was more more of a pagan society than Rome was. Paul was concerned about unity within the body of Christ. So that's why he writes this section of Scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote in verse 12. Let's go to verse 12. It says, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to who?" To God, right? Not to each other, but to God. "One must be careful in thinking someone else is unspiritual or thinking that someone else What someone else does is unspiritual. Not that we can't evaluate or judge, but we need to be careful with that, okay? All right. So in these verses, we must realize that Paul is trying to foster harmony within the body of Christ. This is his number one interest, okay? That's what he's trying to do. We want harmony within the body of Christ. There should not be factions and judging, but rather harmony and edification, okay? Which is the opposite of judging and tearing down, okay? Which is building up, okay? So we want to build up each other, edify each other. So the one another command in verse 19, the building up one another, focuses on having peace within the body of Christ, but the building up of one another. Okay, so how do we have peace and build up one another? Okay. Well, we should always be at peace with our fellow believers. Why is that? Why should we always be at peace with each other?
Because a house divided cannot grow.
A what?
Because, I mean, if you have internal conflict, that's...
So a house that's divided that cannot grow? Is that what you said? Okay. Yeah, you have it. To be what?
That's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit? Okay, okay. That's good. Why else? All these are good. What did you say, Clarissa?
Because Christ lives in us.
Because Christ lives in us, right? Because of the relationship that we have in Christ, right? So everything you said is good, but the number one thing is because our relationships that our relationship that we have with Christ, okay? So we should always be at peace with our fellow believers because of the relationship we have with Christ, okay? So bricks joined together in a building are dependent upon one another for the strength and support, right? I know the other day I had some of you over, some of the young men, you were helping me stack hay, okay? And so as you stack it, you know, I think Stephen was the master, I don't know, what do you call it? No, he was like the master stacker, okay? But he was weaving them with each other. And you can see where I jumped in and I started stacking them. And his half over here on this side was real solid. You'd step here and nothing would move. Well, you get to my side and you step on it, the whole side wobbles, right? Because I didn't integrate it with his side. But the way he did it, he weaved them together in such a way that they all supported each other, okay? Anyways, again, bricks joined together in a building are dependent upon one another for strength and support. So in the same way, believers need one another and should thus seek to build one another up. Each person should be building the other person up in his or her faith. How do we build each other up in our faith?
With the Word of God.
Okay.
Sharing what we learn.
Okay, share what we learn. The Word of God. Okay.
Pray for one another.
What's that? Pray?
Pray for one another.
Okay.
Laugh with one another, cry with one another, take joy in one another, spend time with one another in that too.
Okay, perfect. So, so each person should be building the other person up in their faith, right? So, the interest of the church should take priority over the interest of self. That's hard to do, right? To put the church first, put other believers before your own interests. But that's what we should do. Especially, again, I'm talking about within the church, okay? Focusing on building up specific individuals will contribute to the building up of the church, right? When we build each other up, what are we building up essentially? The church, right? So as Raul said and you said, as we talk to each other, as we grow each other, as we walk alongside each other, we build each other up. And the closer we get to Christ, the more the church becomes like Christ, okay? So that's what we want. So if we look at verse 19 and 20, there's a contrast between verse 19 and 20. verse 19 speaks of building up, while verse 20 speaks of what?
Tearing down.
Tearing down, right? So can you build up the body of Christ and can it be torn down once you build it up, say, to here? Can you tear down the body of Christ? Absolutely, right? We can tear it down. So, if believers are not pursuing things that make peace and things that build up, we are necessarily tearing down the church, okay? There is no neutral position. Either we're building or we're tearing down, right? One may not be intentionally tearing down, But such a person is doing just that by not building up. Okay? So anytime we build, we should always seek to edify one another. So that way it's continually building and edifying the church. Okay? So Scripture commands that believers pursue, okay, the building up of one another. Okay, where does that say that at? Which verse? 19. Which one?
19.
So then let us pursue the things, okay? So it commands us to pursue the building up of one another. We should be seeking this out. This is not just, oh, this guy came to me and talked to me, this lady came and talked to me, and now I've got to work with them, right? No, this is what you should be seeking, these opportunities to do this, to pursue the building up of one another. This does not suggest a lazy, apathetic approach to one's relationship with others. Rather, Scripture calls for a purposeful, deliberate, and urgent action among believers to build up one another. Okay? So we should be building up one another. All right. So here's our challenge. Okay? We should not judge each other by external measures. Okay? We talked slightly about this last week, and we'll talk about it more in our last one, I think, the last one. This type of judging causes division and tears down others. Believers must take care that they do not hinder the exercise of their brother's or sister's faith, okay? So we should not judge by external measures. What do we mean? How can we get caught up as believers judging by external measures? What are some things that maybe you've seen in the past, some of your old churches, or maybe even here? I mean, we're not a perfect church, right? But we try to seek, I would say, to glorify God and build up the church. But so what are some examples you've seen, in a sense, as a warning to us today?
I had someone in a small group state that if you don't raise your hands during worship, then you're not free in Christ.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
So that was a definite segue for that Sunday school class.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Anybody else?
There's all kinds. You got dress.
Yeah.
Financials.
Yep. Dress, financials.
Books.
You said books?
Looks.
Oh, looks. Oh, okay. I haven't heard that one. All right. Yeah. No, absolutely. The version of the Bible you use. All right. Which is the one you use, Stephen?
Whoops.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Comparing what? I'm sorry.
Just comparing yourself to others. It's
yeah.
It's more of a broader spectrum from what they said.
Yeah.
It leads into that.
Okay. Absolutely. So again, so it exists, right? So we need to be careful that if we see that we call each other out too. Hey, is that really Christ-like? You know, is that how we build up the body, right? I gave an example last week of, I saw that in a church or somebody that wasn't, because of the way they dressed, like Phil said, kind of a little more on the poor side. But man, I was just so frustrated. But there was a group of people kind of shunned them because of the way they looked and in the church. And that was many years ago in Hobbs. But again, unacceptable. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. So... Oh, that's right. We had a big family. So when we lived in Farmington, but poor kids, they say everything, right? So poor parents, I guess. But we had this little girl come over. She's like, hey, I had my birthday party. We're like, okay, that's cool. That's exciting. And I think, and I'm always, you know, I give people a hard time. I say, well, you should have invited me. I'd have got you a present, right? She goes, oh, we were going to, but my mom said no because you had a big family. I'm like, oh, be careful what you ask. He might not like that. And so I learned not to ask children those things. I know.
Yeah, if you don't want another
kid, that's right. Yes. Okay, so how have we judged others and torn them down? Okay, that's something to ask. How does Matthew 7 apply to us? Let's read verse 1-5. We'll say somebody in the middle table, since the front table's red already.
I'll read it.
All right, go ahead. 1-5.
Chapter 7, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Okay, so what are we seeing here? What's the warning here? Yeah, examine yourself, right? Before you start talking, right? Before you judge. It says, do not judge so that you will not be judged, right? So he's saying, look, don't do it or you're going to be judged this way. So it's not that you can't do it. There's a warning that makes sure you're right, right? So what's that?
The verse 5 still says that you can, right?
Yeah, verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Yeah, so there's still permission to judge. Now, how many times do we hear people say, oh, you shouldn't judge, right? You shouldn't judge? All the time, right? Don't judge me. You can't judge, right?
The difference between judgment and discernment. A big difference between judgment and discernment. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And because what's right is right, and I tell you what's wrong is wrong, doesn't mean I'm judging.
Yeah.
It just means I'm being discerning.
Yeah, that's right. When you hurt somebody's feelings, they think they're being judged, huh? Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. Now there's another side to the coin here. So always remember the chapter 7s, Matthew and John. So the back table, look up John 7:24.
Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather judge according to righteous judgment.
Okay, so we can judge. So what you said earlier, your example you gave earlier, Chad, that's a righteous judgment, right? So God is the giver of the moral law, right? And if you go against his moral law and you get called out on it, that's a righteous judgment, okay? So again, you can judge each other. You know, I've worked with youth for many years, and you're not my dad. You can't tell me that. So, well, you're in sin right now, so I can tell you that, right? And so, yeah, absolutely. I remember, oh, never mind, but I won't say it. We were on a trip one time going to Wisconsin, and it was a long trip, man. This poor kid, he needed some help. But anyways, it was good at the end of the day. I still talk to the kid every now and then. He struggles in life, but again, I was always firm with him, though, and I think there's some respect to that. I think at the end of the day, when you're firm and you speak truth and you say it how it is, I think in the long run, that seed will always be planted. They'll always respect you for that, at least most of the time, right? How many of us as parents, you're like, man, I've been telling you that for a long time, then all of a sudden you grew up and came back and you're saying, you're repeating the same things I told you, or they'll say, hey, Dad, Mom, man, that advice was great. That was good. You were right. I had to experience it the hard way, but you were right, right? Sometimes, though, it's hard because then you fall into the opposite advice and you realize it, but then sometimes you can't get out of it because now there's consequences sometimes to that sin. So, but again, we should always, as Christians, speak in righteousness to others, okay? Always. And that's how we build each other up. Okay, so for married couples, how do we complement each other? Okay, how are we taking advantage of one another's strengths? How are we trying to build each other up in his or her respective weaknesses? Okay, so do you, are you complemented by Marilee's strengths and vice versa? Don't laugh. But yes. Okay, so again, those are the, that one is the do not judge but build up one another. And it's a command. Again, do not judge but build up. If you do judge, there's a righteous judgment and make sure that you are good, right? And it goes back to the Titus, the biblical manhood and womanhood. Always live and live this way so that way you can be counted as, what's that?
Blameless.
Blameless, there you go. Innocent, yes. And so that's what we should do. So if you're living in that way, that Titus, that foundation, then you can make good, righteous judgments without feeling guilty. Like as soon as somebody tells me you shouldn't judge me, more than 99% of the time, they're not a Christian anyways, right? But they typically have the the most radical ideas are typically really feministic, really woke, really just LGBTQ out there. And they just have, what they do is that they know what they do is wrong, but they know that their judge will be God, but they don't want us to judge them, but God will judge one day, okay? But he's a patient God. So God says that his vengeance belongs to him, okay? So we don't do that. Unless you're like me, I used to pray that God would use me as a tool to take vengeance against my own kids, so... That prayer would come true every now and then.
That paddle making class.
Oh yeah, that's right. Right, issues. No comment, huh? Yeah, he was real quiet. He was having flashbacks. Sorry, son. Poor guy. But it did hurt me more than it hurt you. So, all right, son. You don't know about that. All right, number five. Okay, this one is welcome one another. Okay, this is welcome one another. Let's go over one chapter to chapter 15. Remember, chapter 14, verse 1 is kind of the root to a lot of these passages. They're referring back to this, and we'll look at that here in a minute. So Romans 15, verse 7. How about somebody in this front table read that? Romans 15, 7.
Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God.
Ooh, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So just like the last command, this one is also written in the context of judging others. Okay, let's go back to 14:1. Turn your page over. Let's look at Romans 14:1. Did we read that earlier? We didn't, huh?
No.
Okay, so... let's have somebody in the middle table read Romans 14:1. Go ahead, John.
As for the one who's speaking in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions.
Okay, so now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment, okay, on opinion. So this verse teaches us that welcoming one another should not be associated with judging one another, okay? All right, remember, all this is external. You can't, if you don't know anybody, you can't make a judgment internal. You don't know their heart, you don't know their mind, you don't know nothing about them. So the only way you can really judge somebody as you meet them is an outward appearance, right? And whatever that looks like, whether it's dress, whether it's maybe what they look like, maybe it's a tattoo, maybe it's not a tattoo, maybe it's they got flip-flops instead of shoes, I don't know, whatever, however people judge each other, right? And so those are real simple, right? But again, it goes. I know that it goes deeper than that. All right. Because of their unjustifiable judging, Christians in Rome were not welcoming one another. Okay, particularly when it came to Gentile believers. So you had these Jews who would judge the Gentiles, almost by what I said, right? Okay. The Gentiles obviously didn't look like the Jews back in the day. You can see a big difference, okay? So we do not have to deal with this kind of separation today. I think we do just a little bit, but not as bad. But not like the way they did back then. We should always welcome other believers without reservation. And we had a guy, 2 weeks ago come in? I didn't know him. I thought it was one of y'all invited him. I found out that nobody invited him. He just came in and sat up front. We treated him just like everybody else. And, you know, I'm sure he had to leave early, but I'm sure everybody would have, at least some of you would have talked to him and just had a conversation with him. But again, we should always welcome other believers without reservation, no matter what cultural background they have, how they dress, what they look like, or their social status, okay? No matter what. So to welcome or accept someone means more than just to tolerate or give official recognition to, okay? Believers can certainly welcome one another as a formality or as a mere visible outward act, okay? But this is not what Scripture calls us to do. It's not just a formality or an outward act, okay? Believers are to welcome one another in a genuine, heartfelt manner, okay? Just as what? What does that verse say, 15:7? Just as what? Just as Christ accepted us to the glory of God. Okay? Not just Christ accepts us, but he brings us into God's glory. Okay, because of Christ, is how we the way we reach God's glory is through Christ. Okay, and because He has welcomed us. Okay, so again, believers are to welcome one another in a genuine, heartfelt manner, just as Christ also accepted us. Let's go to, if you're still in Romans chapter 14, can I get the back table to read verse 3? Yeah. So the one who eats must not view the one who does not eat with contempt, and the one who does not eat must not judge the one who eats, for God accepted him. For God accepted him. So again, one believer should accept the other believer because Christ has accepted both, right? And so again, I mean, Miss Cheryl was at my house Thursday. Were you just thinking that? As Miss Cheryl, you're not going to eat. She said, no, your wife's a good cook, I'm sure. You know, I've had her food before, but I said, okay, no big deal. So she got dessert, okay? But I didn't judge her. I didn't run her out of the house, right? I had nothing against her. I had nothing but righteous judgments in my mind. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I said, Phil, you need to handle. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's right. And I just came to mind, by the way. I wasn't thinking about this as I was doing that. But we always tease her, right? And she will only eat it if it comes from Albertsons. So we give her a hard time about that. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? So, but yes. So let me go. Here's the challenge. Let's move on. When we welcome someone, it should not be a two-minute conversation, okay, at a Sunday morning worship service, right? I kind of got convicted by some of these things as I was going through them. But again, when we welcome someone, it should not be just a two-minute conversation at a Sunday morning worship service. Now, there's nothing wrong with greeting people or saying welcome, right? There's nothing wrong with that. However, we only have a few minutes to do this, okay? You go say hi to somebody, whatever, because of course we try to be punctual, and we're trying to start at 11, we're trying to start at 9:30, whatever it is. On Wednesday night, we're trying to start at 6:30. Whatever your hour is at whatever study you're doing, you want to be punctual, but at the same time, you should keep those people in mind, right? And then come back and follow up. So instead, what if we use the time to seek out someone that you don't know and have a conversation with them, okay? So ask questions to get to know them. We talked about this one another, asking questions about them, not about you, but it's you make it all about them, okay? Get their number, maybe meet up with them, go have some coffee, some lunch. Hey, take them out to lunch that day, invite them over to your home. Have a good conversation after church, right? Some of you may say, oh, great, they already stay 30 minutes afterwards talking, but more? No, I'm just kidding. But again, do something is the point, right? Even if it is staying after church. I mean, I've left here before and there's people out in their vehicles still talking. And so, which is pretty exciting sometimes, is building those relationships. This one another command means not to show partiality, but receive others and to care for them in Christ and accepting them as Christ accepts us, okay? So we should welcome them in Christ. Doesn't matter what your status is, Christ brings us all. Imagine if Christ would look at our status and he would choose us according to our status. He's laughing. Yeah, he's like, yeah. Probably, would we make it? Not from a human status, right? But we are all, right? We're all evil at heart. We're all capable of doing the same sins. Just because you've never done this sin doesn't mean you're not capable of it, right, Stephen? I've heard you say that before. And so again, God doesn't do that, okay? And we should not do that as well. So as we've mentioned before, we should never look at people through their ethnicity, their color, nationality, and anything that hinders us from welcoming others, okay? We are to receive people and treat them like we would treat Christ, okay? As if Christ came into the room, that's how we should treat others, okay, that claim to be believers. And even those who don't claim, should we treat them the same way? And why should we treat them the same way, Stephen?
I mean, we should show the example lead by Christ. I know it's different as the fellowship with the church, but we still should show that compassion towards others because they are still the image of God.
Okay.
We still want to come to Christ, ultimately.
Okay, so you want to express Christ's likeness to them, right? Okay. That's good. Okay. I'll put a note here. I always tell my children to treat people well because you may be the only Christ-like person they ever meet. There are always people who claim to be Christians out there, okay? But you see their patterns of, hey, do you go to church? Do you go to Bible study? Do you read or do you pray? Like, you know, is your desire to glorify God in the way you walk every day? And there's a lot of times they may say yes, but you can watch from afar and you're like, man, I don't know about that. So, again, I'm not judging them. It's, you know, again, if you tell me you're a Christian, I want to hold you to a biblical perspective. Not perfection, I get it. I'm not perfect myself, but there's at least a, in my mind, a minimum standard, right? And so if we can meet that together and then help each other grow the rest of the way, then that is good. So, yes, sir.
If it's an apple tree, it should have apples on it.
That's right. That's right. Yes, that's true. That's a great point. So, there's a lot of those kinds of trees out there, right, that are grafted in with something else. Or claim to be in this tree, but they're not. And John chapter 15 talks about that, right? The pruning, right? If there's no fruit, then you're going to get pruned, right? Okay, so girls, we should not be running up. Okay, this was just me being funny, okay? So young ladies, you get a new young man that walks into the church. Oh, we don't just run up to him because he's cute, okay? Or young men, we don't run to the ladies because there's somebody cute that runs in, right? Silas has a smile and knows like, oh, no, that's scary. You heard an amen? That was Hayden in the background. But yes, okay. So again, that's just a, you know, it's kind of funny, but it's not, right? I've seen that where somebody walks in and woof, everybody's like, oh, right? New toy. So should accept. So girls, we should not just run to the young men and young men not to the ladies, right? We should accept everyone without distinction, okay? Now, James warns us. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we're going to go through verses 1 through 13. Let's see. Who's next? Is it the back table?
Yes.
All right. Anybody want to read? Let's get somebody to read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll get this front table to read 7 through 13.
I'll read 7.
You will? Okay. You got it, Hayden?
Yeah.
Okay.
<Yeah. laughs> My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal faith. Man comes in your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes. And you pay special attention to one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court?
Okay. Jesus? Oh, Clarissa, go ahead, Clarissa.
You may not blaspheme the good name by which you have been called. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery but murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
All right. Okay. So we see that all these examples that we've been kind of using with some of that is called out here in James. I know Stephen brought him up last week as well, James. But there it is. So we should not judge in that way, right? It says verse 12, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay? Always give mercy. Okay? Always give mercy. All right. So when we welcome... Yes, go ahead.
People in the church, like we're talking about this, and this, like, it's very different judgment versus discernment.
Discernment, okay, yes.
And that can get confusing sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess lived as being judgment, but sometimes it's discernment.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, like, somebody comes in. But it's not the way they dress. There's something about them that says, I don't know, like there's just something that's making me want to stay away. Like it's just,
yeah,
it's that kind
you
of.
You still treat them good. And,
mm-hmm.
But it, there's that discernment where maybe you don't want to get close or
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to, I guess that's my question. That's tricky for
me. Yeah, no, and I think that's, there's nothing, I think that's a good thing to have, right? So in my eyes, if it's a man, typically if a woman's feeling that way, typically it's probably a man that comes in, right? Then I would challenge your husband to build that relationship with them, right? And then he goes and builds that relationship, goes and talks, you know, and just kind of gets the feel of what's going on, right? Then eventually he will decide whether to invite him over for lunch or just, you know what, let's hold off. And then we just continue just to talk to him. And eventually you're like, oh, this person's not that bad after all. Or, yeah, there's something going on here, you know. He can continue to talk and work, you know, with that person until one day he feels comfortable bringing that person into the family. And sometimes there'll be times where he never do, right? He's like, no, we'll just keep it as me and this person in a public place, go out and have coffee, whatever, right? Have lunch together and just grow each other, right? But it's because sometimes there'll be times where you're like, not even I want to be alone with this person at my house or their house or... somewhere else, always in a public place, right? Because you just have that feeling, or there's signs that you recognize. You see what I'm saying? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I would treat it. Or you find somebody who has a gift for that, or has a skill set, or enjoys those type of people, right? But I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't tell you to not go talk to them, right? To, at least in church, to say, hi, how are you doing, you know? But you just have to be cautious in who you bring into your, especially if you're having that discernment, you know what I'm saying? So.
To be sensitive to the Spirit.
Yeah.
When the Spirit is pricking you that direction, you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're abusing.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, even if it like was a girl, I know you said like a man, but mm-hmm. if it was a girl, you don't have to be like best friends with them 24/7 and doing that, but as long as you're friendly, you know, you show Christ love through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not every person who's a Christian I'm going to be best friends with, but there's still that connection of we have one goal.
Yeah.
But even if there might be.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair.
God brought them to the church for a purpose.
That's right.
Somebody there that is going to be able to minister mm-hmm. to them in the way that
they need. That's right.
That they need to be corrected. So. But mm-hmm. it's good for us to have discernment to be cautious.
Yeah.
Especially as women, I think.
Mm-hmm.
God allows us that to keep us protected.
Absolutely. Phil, were you going to say something?
Yeah. Sounds like a, wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. You could look at it that way, too. Mm-hmm.
Able to discern that.
Absolutely.
Well, it was in that situation, what do you mean, like in Farmington, when you were like, there's something about this lady that just, I don't know. And she ended up having an affair with the youth pastor.
Well, sometimes you can't predict the future, right? But I think it's important that if we're supposed to be a lighthouse, right? And what does a lighthouse do? It gives warning, right? To not say something is not good. Now, you don't go telling everybody how you feel, but I think...
Because you did bring it up to the...
To the pastor.
And the pastor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did, right? And they said I was overanalyzing it, and then eventually ended up falling, right? But yeah, so I think you should speak out, right? Be careful who you speak to, but I think there's importance to give warning if there's concerns about something, right? I just pray to God that God protects us from that. You know, there are a lot of churches that have dealt with predators and things like that that we have to be careful with. And so that's something that I teach all the time. Don't trust anybody and don't even trust yourself, okay? Always have accountability. You do something, you take somebody with you. You text together, or your wife's there with you, your husband's there with you. Always have that accountability. It's important, no matter what. So,
I'd say on top of that, the responsibility of the elders of the church to protect the flock as well.
Yeah.
Discipline and that side of things can come into play on those same discernment questions. It's
sure.
not a one and done type deal, but there's a,
what is a follow-up.
Examination mm-hmm. of the people that comes in to some extent. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I got you. So again, so the one another here, that's a great question, Teresa. So we should welcome one another. Obviously, if there's something that, as Chad mentioned, the Spirit is kind of pricking your heart to be cautious, then be cautious. And so just make sure you share that with your husband, right? Because your husband may not feel it, but he's over there being friendly and talking. But you're like, hey, man, I don't know. Be careful with that, right? I'm just feeling this. So then at least he knows how you feel and doesn't bring that, I guess, within the family until he's like, okay, no, we're good. Okay, so the next one is, so that one was, okay, the next one is number 6, instruct one another. Let's go to Romans 15. Can I get somebody in the back table? Julia, can you read Romans 15, 14 for us?
15:14?
Yes, ma'am. Romans, instruct one another.
Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also admonish one another.
Okay. So, as we read in chapter 14, Paul states that one should be careful about judging other believers. In our current verse, this one here, Paul makes the point that a qualification for instructing is that one is full of what? Goodness and filled with what?
Knowledge.
Okay. So the qualification for instructing, and this is again the one another, this is not the pastoral, the elders, okay, but is full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, okay? The person instructing is one who seeks holiness of life and is kind and generous like Christ and has the right character and right understanding of Scripture, okay? This should be all of us here. I would typically, your Sunday school folks are a little bit more solid. Not that the others that don't come aren't, but your average is they're typically a lot stronger, so I'm speaking to you in that manner. We need to be like Ezra, who studied and he practiced and he taught God's word. I'll read it to you, don't turn there, but Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to practice it and to teach his statute and judgment in Israel." Okay, that was Ezra 7:10. So, if we are wrong in our thinking, we'll be wrong in our living. Okay, what you believe will be how you live. I've always said that. Okay, I know your theology by the. I can see what you believe. I know what your theology is by the way you live. Okay, those who instruct one another should want to help others think rightly, so they may live rightly. Okay, so that's why it's important to have. To know God's word, because when you're giving advice and when you're working alongside each other and you're talking about the things of the Lord, you want to make sure you have truth so that way, because what you believe will reflect in how you live. And so when you give people that advice, you want them to reflect off of that biblical advice that you give them. Okay? One's desire to instruct another believer should be motivated by love for God and for the other person. If the one instructing does not truly want the other person to know Christ more intimately or to grow in faith, his motive may be questioned and his instruction suspect. Okay? So if you're around and like, well, that guy never, you know, and you know they're a Christian, and you're never trying to sharpen each other, you're never challenging each other, man, I don't know. There's something wrong there. That's another type of discernment. Okay? So again, we must be careful not to correct. Now here's, this is very, very important here. Pay attention to this. We, one, must be careful not to correct differences in preferences, okay, but only what is truly wrong or sinful, okay? Is that, you understand that? Be careful not to correct differences in preferences, but only what is truly wrong or sinful, okay? So.
What were the verses in Romans, the first one?
Yeah. Romans 15:14. And then Ezra 7:10, if you want that. But yes, one must be careful not to correct differences and preferences, but only what is truly wrong or sinful. Okay, and again, this is the one another's, right? You know, don't sit there and start telling somebody, hey, oh, you go to the movies? Oh, you're, that's evil. That's wrong. That's sinful, right? Don't, those are the things that we deal with, right? And so, oh, you use the KJV and I don't, right? That's not a problem, okay? I won't, if people have a different perspective on the spiritual gifts, I won't debate them unless they ask me, then I'll tell them what I believe, and typically it turns into a debate. But I don't make that a, like I don't go to my mom's house every time I go and just start grilling her on that stuff. In fact, I try to avoid it. Again, these are the one another's. This is how we as believer to believer function with each other, right? And so, and I know some of you in this class, even within the home, have differences between your wife and yourself, or your husband and yourself, and that can create some friction. But again, if they're not, if those are just differences, they're not worth creating friction over. Okay, so let God's word do His job and its job, and it'll eventually convince. Show them what you believe by how you live, and they'll be open-minded to a different perspective. Okay, all right. So just being with people can bring some comfort and help, but that is not all we are commanded to do. So just to be with people, you know, to instruct one another, is not all. Or there we go. So we must be asking questions and listening to what people are thinking and saying. Matthew, I can't remember, where is it at? I forgot to write the reference down. But anyways, Matthew says that we should be listening out of the heart. Okay, Matthew says that. We must realize that people won't want what's right or do what's right if they don't think or believe what's right. Okay, so you get what I'm saying there? We must realize that people won't want what's right or do what's right if they don't think or believe what's right. So that's why it's important to give them the truth so they can think rightly. And it's our jobs to make sure that we know it. Okay, so this is why teaching is very important. So we should pray for wisdom, like James talks about that, on what to say and when to say it. For most people, opportunities to instruct others are informal, right? Typically rather than formal. Most of the times you're not in a classroom setting like this, where you can just come up and just teach people in a formal way. They're typically informal, right? When we have a chance to teach and train. So our goal of instruction should align with Paul's goal that he expresses in Colossians. So let's go ahead and go to the middle table, Colossians 1, 28 and 29. And then we'll end here, we're out of time. So our goal of instruction should align with Paul's goal expressed here in Colossians. And it's chapter 1, verses 28 and 29.
Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To the end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
Okay, so that we may present every man complete in Christ, or perfect in Christ, right? That's what we should do. Proclaim the truth, teaching every man, okay? This is not the elders. This is the one another's. This is us. This is believer with believer, Oh, I thought that was the elder's job. Oh, no, it ain't. Sorry, guys. At least this group knows now. So again, okay, we should present, we should teach in a way so we can present every man complete in Christ. Okay? This is very, very important. All right, any questions? No? Okay, all right. Let's go ahead and end, and then we'll go from there. We did not get to number 7, so it looks like about 3 is our almost my limit, but we'll keep going. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to see these commands of the one another's, Lord. And some of them are challenging, Lord. Some of them we kind of do naturally, and then some of them, Lord, are really unnatural to us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you guide us, Lord, that you give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be studiers of your word and people of prayer, Lord, so that way we're always ready, Lord, to give an answer. A lot of times, Lord, we think of giving an answer only to debate or defend, but a lot of the times, Lord, it's to grow and mature and to build each other as well. So I pray that that we always study, and we pray, Lord, so that we can be ready to do all those things, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray in your name. Amen.